Hello, I'm Angela and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 27th of May 2026.
Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news. As a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD, simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have me, Angela, Mina, Peter, Simon, Dan, and of course not forgetting Roger. In this week's edition, we have all the latest from Beacon, including the lifestyle newsletter for June with Dan. Some fascinating news and nostalgia from across the Black Country. Nestle down and find your comfy spot, as with thanks to TNF Soundings, we introduce the third and final episode of Beyond the Core. You'll have to be sharp of mind as we have another challenging quiz from Roger. We continue our journey round the Wrekin with Michael and Leslie Breakier. And of course, we have the latest goings on from the village of Leaford. Local news to start with, though, with Peter.
Residents looking for help and support on a range of money, health and safety matters are welcome to come along to an open day in the East Park area of the city next month. Help at the Hub will see a wide variety of city organisations offer free advice and information to residents. The event will take place on Wednesday the 3rd of June at St Matthew's Church, Willenhall Road, WV1 2JQ, between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. The event has been organised by officers at City of Wolverhampton Council's Public Protection Scams Team, who will be handing out free scams awareness and prevention packs. Residents can speak with representatives from Act on Energy, Environmental Crime, Health Watch, KOOTH, Public Protection, SEND, Offer, Severn Trent, Talking Therapies, Terrific for Twos, Waste Services, Wolves at Work, Wolverhampton College and Work Well. Councillor Bhupinder Gakhal, Cabinet Member for Resident Services at City of Wolverhampton Council, said, "Our Help at the Hub events are a fantastic way to take support and advice into local communities and a great opportunity to reach as many people as possible. Gathering together such a wide range of organisations under one roof enables us to offer guidance and help across a range of matters. That means people can find help on a number of matters at the same time. People can pop in and find advice and assistance on anything from health and education to waste services and public protection. Please join us on the 3rd of June for a chat and to find support. People do not have to book an appointment, but are asked to please be prepared to wait if the event is busy. And to remind you, Help at the Hub, Wednesday the 3rd of June at St Matthew's Church, Willenhall Road, between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m.
Nestle down and find your comfy spot, as with thanks to TNF Soundings, we introduce the third and final episode of Beyond the Core.
Arriving at the scene, Jack and Kathy were met with only a cloud of dust. and the old soldier's agonized groans from beneath. Other witnesses dashed to the scene, but Jack held them back.
You ladies get the children away from here, and one of you call an ambulance. Now! You men help me raise this boat.
It was wood-built and heavy, but with six of them heaving, they managed just a momentary lift while others pushed in temporary chocks. Precarious as that was, Kathy felt her way beneath and began examining the stricken Bertie.
One leg is badly crushed, she called back. Get me something I can roll him onto so you can pull him out.
Some old carpet was swiftly produced, and a groaning Bertie was carefully pulled free. An exhausted Kathy knelt beside him, offering what comfort she could, until the urgent wail of an ambulance meant his pain would soon be eased, at least a little.
So how did it happen?
Jim, back from the group's run ashore and anxious to hear Jack and Kathy's explanation of the drama enacted just a half hour before, had quickly joined them in Sunburst's cockpit.
A pure accident,
explained Jack.
Apparently one of the children dislodged a prop and over the boat went.
Trapping a little girl who's only alive now thanks to Bertie's brave action, added Kathy.
But leaving him injured,
frowned Jim, whose concern was only amplified by the ambulance's siren as it sped out of the yard.
How badly?
Kathy looked crestfallen. He'll probably survive, but that leg is badly crushed, and he'll be lucky to keep it.
Amputation?
It was clear Jim was recalling his own past trauma.
Well, if it comes to that, I'll be only too glad to give all the help and support I can. It's the least I can do for a hero like Bertie.
He glanced towards Sundog and all the youngsters gathered on board, looking sad.
They're pretty cut up, so I'd better get back and reassure them.
As Jim hurried off, two other figures appeared beside Sunburst. It was the little girl Bertie had rescued together with her mum. Both still looked badly shaken, but they had come over to thank Kathy for all she did. The mother glanced in the direction of the ambulance's siren, its wail growing ever distant as it sped on its urgent way.
That poor man, we owe Lucy's life to him.
She gave her daughter a thankful squeeze.
He was such a hero. Just a minute before he'd been recalling his own brave adventures and then, without a moment's thought, risked his life again to save Lucy.
After words of comfort, they left to return to their boat while Kathy turned back to Jack.
And to think, I've done nothing these last few days but badmouth poor Bertie.
Jack laid a comforting hand on her shoulder.
That was just between you and me, Kathy, and nothing to feel guilty about. Having, I suspect, been decorated yourself for bravery, it must have upset you knowing his stories weren't true. You were just voicing concern for the youngsters in your care.
Perhaps,
she shook away regretful thoughts.
But before the accident, you were about to tell me what you'd found out about his past.
If you still want to hear it.
She shrugged. If it helps ease my conscience, Jack, then go ahead.
Okay, well, records show that Bertie Barraclough did indeed serve in the army, though not with the distinction he would have everyone believe. For a start, it wasn't as an officer, but as a lowly squaddie, and even that ended in May 1982.
Kathy mulled over that date.
Wasn't that the start of the Falklands War?
Jack nodded.
Yep, and Bertie's unit were the first to be deployed. But he wasn't with them, because he did a bunk the night before embarkation.
He deserted,
gasped Kathy,
to avoid active service.
Seems that way,
confirmed Jack.
After arrest, he was court-martialed and did a spell in detention before receiving a dishonourable discharge.
Kathy went quiet, and Jack could imagine her thinking of the little girl so narrowly clutched from tragedy.
Then she finally said with a smile, "But Jack, what you've just told me, that surely can't be our Major Bertie."
Jack glanced down quay to where the little family sat subdued, but safe. Perhaps the past was where some things were best left.
"No, you're absolutely right, Kathy. It couldn't possibly be our Bertie."
TNF Soundings.
Now it's time to test your knowledge. Here come the quiz questions for this edition.
Hello there, it's Andrew, and I've got another quiz of 10 questions for you. So, the very best of luck. Question 1. Which author wrote The War of the Worlds? Question 2. Which composer wrote the operas The Marriage of Figaro and The Magic Flute? Question 3. As at 2024, which British men's football soccer team has won the most FA Cup titles? Question 4. In golf, what do we call a score of 1, 2, or 3 shots below the par or target for the hole? Question 5. In the periodic table of elements, which is the lightest of the noble gases? Question 6. In which parts of a plant cell does the process of photosynthesis occur? Question 7. In biology, crabs, lobsters, crayfish, they're all examples of which creatures? Question 8. Which scientist has won Nobel Prizes in 2 different scientific fields? Once for physics in 1903 and then again for chemistry in 1911. Question 9. Based on population, which is the largest city in Scotland? And question 10. Which island is occupied by Indonesia, Malaysia, and Brunei? Well, that's the end of our questions, and I'll be back a bit later with the answers for you. Take care for now. Thank you.
Time now to get all the latest from Beacon, as we have the lifestyle newsletter with Dan.
Beacon Lifestyle Newsletter. Welcome to June 2026. Would you like to receive this newsletter in a different format? Please contact us on 01902 880111 or email inquiries at beaconvision.org. So welcome to June. As summer begins to bloom, we're excited to share fresh updates, upcoming events and inspiring stories with you. It's the longer days, new opportunities and a month filled with fun and laughter. And below is a picture of our member and a recent fishing trip. VIP sessions. These sessions are held monthly and the activities are designed with you to ensure you meet your needs. Our VIP group is a friendly bunch of people with sight loss who like to try new activities, build friendships and encourage others to live lives to the full. Each meeting costs £3.50. If you want to be part of a community that understands your experiences and you wish to attend or find out more, please email Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111. So VIP Queen's Cross, this group meets at Queen's Cross Network, Wellington Road, DY1 1RB. In the Cafe Plaza on the first Friday of each month from 1pm to 3pm. Refreshments are available to purchase at the venue. So on Friday the 8th of June, we'll be having a health and wellbeing session with our very own Dan. VIP Brett Young. This group meets at Brett Young Gateway, Old Horn Lane, Hales Owen, B63, 3ST. Tea and coffee are available to purchase at the venue. Sessions run from 1pm to 3pm on the second Monday of each month. On Monday the 8th of June, we'll be having a health and wellbeing session with our very own Dan. And VIP Beacon. So this session will take place on Wednesday 24th of June. So we'll be going to Ashik's for a meal in Upper Gornal, and that's DY31UY. We're making our own way there by bus, and that's 6pm to 8pm. And the cost of that is £3.50, staffing and support also. VIP Stourbridge. This is an exciting group reaching out to our friends in the Stourbridge area. This group will be located at the Sunshine Club in Stourbridge, 6 Crail Drive, DY97NY. The sessions will run 10am to 12pm on the second Monday of each month. This month's session will be held on Monday the 8th of June. We'll be running a series of health and wellbeing workshops over the coming months. And VIP Kings Winford. This again is another group reaching out to our friends in the Kings Winford area. So this group will be located at Kings Winford, Medical Practice, Stand Hills Road, Kings Winford, DY6 8DN. These sessions will run from 10am to 12pm on the first Friday of each month. This month's session will be held on Friday the 5th of June. We're running a series of health and wellbeing workshops over the coming months. June sessions. To book on, contact Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111. Beacon events are designed to be as accessible and enjoyable as possible for people living with sight loss. To help make this happen, we always ensure members of the Beacon team are on hand to support participants throughout each activity, whether that means guiding, offering help with practical arrangements, and making sure everyone feels confident and included. The cost of Beacon listed for each event helps us cover the staffing and support we provide to make the experience sight-friendly. Where transport is provided, this is charged separately at cost price. So we'll be holding a coffee morning / booking session on Thursday the 28th of May from 10am to 12pm to discuss and organise activities for June and beyond. So please come along for a cup of tea, a biscuit and a chat. We've got our fishing. So come and join us for a fun but relaxing day of fishing, whether you are a seasoned angler or new to fishing and want to give it a go. A fully qualified coach, along with members of Beacon staff, will be there to support you. Beacon has received funding to help cover the costs of the fishing activities until October. This will cover the transport cost of £7.70 and the coach fee of £80 per session. So in June, we're going on Wednesday the 3rd of June and Wednesday the 17th of June, and we're departing Beacon at 10:30am and returning to Beacon around 2:30pm. The cost will be £3.50 for staffing and support. There's also £11 for equipment hire paid to the venue on the day. This project has been funded by the Primary Club, and that's a cricketers' charity for the blind and partially sighted. On Thursday the 4th of June, we've got our book club, and that'll be at Beacon Courts Communal Lounge, 10:30am to 12:30pm. The cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support. So join us as we talk about all things books and hunt for new authors and stories. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be available. And on Friday the 12th of June, we've got our West Park walk. So we'll be departing Beacon at around 10:30am and returning at 2pm. The cost again will be £2.50 for the staffing and support, plus the £5.50 for the transport. So join us for a gentle stroll around West Park, with plenty of time to enjoy the scenery and socialise. Our staff will be there throughout to assist and ensure the walk is accessible for everyone. We've also got our tandems on Monday the 15th and Monday the 22nd of June respectively, departing Beacon at 10am and returning around 1pm. The cost of that is £3.50 for staffing and support, plus £7.70 for transport. Join us for our tandem bike rides with our qualified instructors, and they will support you throughout your ride. On Thursday the 18th of June, we're going to Sedgley Adventure Centre. So we're departing Beacon at 10:30am and will be returning around 1:30 p.m. The cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support, plus £5.50 for transport. There's also a £3 entry fee to the farm to pay on the day. So yeah, just come and join us for a fun and relaxing day out at the Sedgley Adventure Centre. On Friday the 19th of June, we're going bowling. That's at Tenpin Dudley, Castle Gateway, Dudley, DY1-1TA. I'll be departing Beacon about 10:30 a.m. and returning at 1:30 p.m. The cost is £2.50 for staffing and support, plus £5.50 for the transport. So come and join us for a fun morning of Tenpin bowling, whether you're a seasoned pro or a first-time player. Everyone is welcome, and our friendly group is always keen to find new teammates. Could you be the one to get a top score? Beacon staff will be on hand throughout to support you and make sure the session is accessible and enjoyable. Also, on the day, there's £7.25 to be paid directly to the venue for the lane. On Friday the 26th of June, we're going to the Bansart Park for a walk and a look around the museum that's also in Bansart Park. So we'll be departing Beacon at 10:30 a.m. and returning at 2 p.m. The cost is £2.50 for staffing and support, plus £5.50 for transport. So join us for a gentle stroll around Bansart Park with plenty of time to enjoy the scenery and socialise. We will also have the opportunity to have a look around Bansart Caves Museum at our own pace. Our staff will be there throughout to assist and ensure the walk is accessible for everyone. And on Monday the 29th of June, we'll be cooking in our data centre kitchen from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. So I'll be cooking a cheese and onion pasty, or pasty of your choice. Please come along and cook up a storm in our data centre kitchen. And the ingredients and methods are enclosed within this newsletter. Further notes for June and beyond. So we at Beacon are working with Wolverhampton Taxi Licensing to help combat unfair treatment for visually impaired people when using taxis. So Wolverhampton will be carrying out test purchases and mystery shoppery exercises in June, and we would love your help with this. If you're interested in supporting this, please get in touch with Becky Green at bgreen@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111. And on Tuesday the 14th of July, a bit further down the road, we're having a visit from the Sight Loss Council, and that will be in Bromford's Residence Lounge, 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. So we have PJ, who is a sight loss coordinator on behalf of the Thomas Hocklington Trust, coming in to meet with members. So please come along and have your voice heard. In 2022, Thomas Hocklington Trust and Sight Loss Councils completed a survey called Listening Month to ask blind and partially sighted, (BPS), people, what matters to them. This has guided the policies and campaigns we focus on, centred around our core themes of health, the built environment, transport, employment and education. This year we are hoping to reach as many BPS people as possible during July 2026, and would love those with lived experiences to help guide our future work and ensure their voices are represented. And as I said, that is on Tuesday the 14th of July at 1 p.m. in Bromford's Residence Lounge. What's been going on in the Lifestyle Centre? So what we've got on this page is we've got two pictures at the top of the page, two of our Lifestyle members potting plants and decorating plant pots as part of our work in terms of the gardens for the summer. And also at the bottom of the page, we've got a picture of a group of us, members and staff, with a cricket session with Worcestershire Cricket Foundation. It's something else that's been going on in the day centre. So there's lots going on. Beacon Gym, contact Daniel Clark at dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111 to book in. Do you want to exercise in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Do you want to join classes or exercise independently? Are you someone who works out regularly or wants to start? The gym is open Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Single sessions cost £5 or there's a monthly membership from £22. You must complete a health questionnaire and an induction before you start. Please sign in to use the gym at our main reception desk on the way in. We'll also have a couple of classes going on within the gym environment. So on Wednesday the 10th of June at 10 a.m, we're having our chair exercises. I'll be doing that over at Beacon Courts Residence Lounge. But this is a taster session, so there'll be no cost. And we're also having our indoor bowls, which we use the gym for, and that'll be on Monday the 1st and Monday the 15th of June from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And the venue there, that's what to say, is in Beacon Gym. And there'll be £2.50 cost there for staffing and support. And the bottom of the page is a picture of a man playing bowls. Ingredients for the June cooking session. 1 tablespoon of vegetable oil, 2 onions sliced, 4 thyme sprigs, leaves pickled, 150 grams of mature cheddar, or a mixture of strong hard cheeses grated, 1 tablespoon of whole grain mustard, 4 spring onions, also sliced. And for the pastry, 250 grams of plain flour, plus extra for dusting, 125 grams of cold butter, large pinch of cayenne pepper, half a tablespoon of English mustard powder, 1 large egg, or just bring your ready-made pastry sheets. And I should be clear with the cooking session. Obviously, that's all open to interpretation. You know, we've got cheese and onion pasties. I mean, you can make Cornish pasties. Whatever you're sort of comfortable with making, we can make. The method for the June cooking session. So step 1, first make the pastry. So tip the flour into a bowl, holding the block of butter in its wrapper. Grate it directly into the flour. You may need to dip the end of the butter into the flour occasionally if it becomes sticky. Add the cayenne pepper, mustard powder, and half the beaten egg, and season with a pinch of salt. Bring everything together with your hands until the mixture starts to clump together. Tip the pastry onto the wort surface and knead very briefly into a smooth ball, adding up to 3 tablespoons of cold water if it's too dry. Squash the pastry into a disc, wrap and chill while you make the filling. Step 2, heat the oil in a frying pan and cook the onions and thyme leaves for 8 to 10 minutes until the onions have softened and started to caramelise. Tip into a bowl and leave to cool. Once cool, mix in the grated cheese, mustard and spring onions. Step 3, heat the oven to 200 degrees Celsius or 180 degree fan or gas mark 6 and line a baking tray with baking parchment. Roll the chilled pastry out onto a lightly floured surface to the thickness of a 1 pound coin. Cut out as many 10 to 12 centimetre circles as you can. You can use a cup or a mug as a template, and then re-roll any offcuts and repeat, and you should get around 10 to 12 circles in total. Step 4. Spoon a mound of the filling into the centre of each pastry circle, leaving the edges clear. Working with 1 circle at a time, brush a little of the remaining beaten egg around the edge. Bring the 2 sides up to meet in the middle in a half moon shape. Pinch the pastry together, crimping the edge to seal. Transfer to the baking tray and repeat with the remaining pastry circles and filling. Brush all the pasties with some beaten egg or keep frozen for 2 months. Step 5, bake the pasties for 20 to 25 minutes or 40 to 45 minutes from frozen until the pastry is deep golden brown. Leave to cool for at least 10 minutes before eating. Warm or cool completely and pack into containers for a picnic. We'll keep in an airtight container for up to 3 days. And also, I should say, those steps are there. It's, again, open to interpretation. It's there as a general sort of guide. Are you interested? We could look at various trips throughout the summer and beyond, including activities such as canal trips, Dudley Zoo, Cosford Air Museum, Wolverhampton Adventure Golf, indoor curling, boxer size classes and circuit classes. So please let me know if any of these are of interest to you so I can gauge interest and get the ball rolling. If you have any other suggestions, please let me know. So please feel free to call 01902 880 111 or email me at dclark@bcommission.org or speak to me whenever you bump into me if you're in the centre and around and about. So please come along as well. Bring these ideas to our coffee morning and booking session on Thursday the 28th of May. So we can work together to get to, you know, get some of the best activities on for everyone. And thank you. Sandwell Deaf Community Association as a deaf blind group. Do you live in Sandwell and Black Country area? Are you especially deaf blind? Deaf blindness is a unique disability involving both sight and hearing loss that significantly impacts communication, information access and mobility, even if hearing or vision is not totally lost. So for more information, please contact either text, WhatsApp or FaceTime 07791921011 or email craig@sdca.co.uk, and that's the Sandwell Deaf Community Association. And if this is something of interest and you would like to find out more details, so to speak, please contact myself on dclark@bcommission.org. Meet the staff. So I'll read this on behalf of Lydia. So hi, my name is Lydia. I have worked with Beacon for almost 5 years, starting as an employment coach before moving into oral history work, and more recently into my current role in employment and skills. Best part of my job is meeting the amazing people that use Beacon services. I enjoy getting to know people, understanding their journeys, and working with them to find practical solutions that help them move forward and reach their goals. Outside of work, I enjoy walking, especially now the weather is improving. There is nothing better than a stroll in the sunshine with my dog, Lufa. I also enjoy travelling and going on holiday, visiting new countries and ticking them off my list whenever I get the chance. Vision Zone 2026, Solutions for Low Vision. 0800 145 6115/www.lowvisionshop.co.uk. Would you like to find out more about assistive technology, support services, groups, and much more? Our Vision Zone events bring charities together, a variety of excellent services and charities covering your local area. No matter what your sight loss condition, we are here for you. Whether it's just to gain knowledge or hands-on experience of new technologies, entry is free to our events and our friendly staff will greet you with a warm welcome. And that will be on Thursday the 16th of July from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and that's at the Beacon Centre for the Blind, Wolverhampton Road East, WV4 6AZ. Free entry and there is no booking required and the parking will be in the main car park outside the centre. Cheer on Dan, 1,510 miles. Dan, which is actually me, our community lifestyle and gym coordinator, is taking on an incredible fundraising challenge in 2026 to celebrate 151 years of Beacon. So yeah, I'm aiming to complete 1,510 miles in a year. It's an average of 4.14 miles a day, combining walking and running to reach the target. So yeah, feel free to show your support and donate and have a chat with me. And you know, any support is appreciated. Thank you. And the website to give support, by the way, is www.justgiving.com/campaign/DanGoesTheDistance. Beacon Fundraising Events. Below is your month-by-month guide to our fundraising events for 2026. Every activity helps us support people living with sight loss. Now, obviously, January, February, March and April have already passed, but you know, the fundraising will still be appreciated. So our new fundraising packs are available now. And in February, we had a loose change box challenge where you collect your spare change throughout the month, but that's more than welcome, obviously, throughout the year. In June, there's a World Cup charity quiz on the 11th of June, hosted by Rupi Lal. In July, there's a refashion show, and that's on the 9th of July. In August, there's a legacy giving, consider making Beacon your lasting legacy. In September, there's corporate blind football tournament, and that's on the 10th of September. October, there'll be our Bright for Sight Day, which will be the 8th of October. So wear your brightest outfits to raise awareness. In November, Christmas sweepstakes, prizes to be won, and it's available now in our shops. December, there's a Forget Me Not service on the 10th of December. The Santa Run will be on the 13th of December. Carols by Candlelight will be on the 17th of December. So for more information on how to support Beacon this year, please email supportus@beaconvision.org. And obviously further information and communication will come out throughout the year, but that gives you a general idea of the calendar ahead. Small change, big difference. Can we raise £1,000 in 2026 through loose change alone? Your spare coins could help us get there. Every penny you save helps support your local sight loss community, providing vital services and support to people living with sight loss. How can you help? Get your loose change box today.
contact reception on 01902 880 111 or email supporters at beaconvision.org. Save your loose change. Fill a Beacon loose change box. Once your box is full, simply drop it off or get in touch.
Beacon Charity Quiz and Live Match Screening, hosted by Rupi Lal, on the Thursday, the 11th of June. It's at the Festival Community Hub, Beacon Court, Beacon Centre. The doors open from 6 p.m. The quiz starts at 7 p.m. During the interval of the charity quiz, we'll be showing the live 2026 FIFA World Cup game between Mexico and South Africa. An adult ticket costs £7. A child ticket is £4. Or you can enter as a team of six for £40. For further information, just call 01902 880 111. Join us for our gardening club. So discover the joys of gardening, learn new techniques and connect with fellow gardening enthusiasts. And that's on Tuesday the 2nd and Tuesday the 16th of June. We'll be leaving Beacon at around 10:15 a.m. and returning for 12 p.m. And we'll be going to Boundary Way allotments, and that's Warstones, WV4 4NT, where the Beacon Centre itself has a plot. So to book your place, please call 01902 880111 or email dclark@beaconvision.org.
Sedgley Lifestyle Centre. We are open Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at our base in Sedgley. We run several activities each day, including cookery, crafting, pottery, computer work, gym sessions, listening to music, quizzes and reminiscing. We keep well hydrated with tea, coffee and water, and we have the restaurant to attend to for a hot meal if we don't bring our sandwiches with us. We are lively, fun and love to have a laugh. Why not come and join us for a trial day? Contact Beacon's reception and ask for more information. You can call us on 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Now, how would you like to help combat loneliness? Well, if you have 30 minutes free during the week, then as a befriending volunteer, you could do just that. Beacon's Befriending Service is here to offer friendship, support and help to anyone who may be feeling isolated and or lonely. As a volunteer, you will be paired with someone based on common interests, and all volunteering is flexible to suit your needs. So it could be arranged for support to be provided over the phone. If you're interested, contact our team by calling 01902 880111 or emailing inquiries@beaconvision.org.
Accommodation at Beacon Court. Each apartment at Beacon Court has its own front door, individual access card, two bedrooms, store, wet/shower room, kitchen with appliances, gas central heating and double glazed windows. Beacon provides 24/7 care team on site to deal with any emergencies 365 days a year. There's a pull cord in each apartment that can be used in an emergency. You also get 30 minutes a week of well-being time to go through anything you like, such as help with post or paying bills. If you want any further information on accommodation at Beacon Court, please contact Chris Lamb on 01902 882 170 or email christopher.lamb@bromford.co.uk. We are pleased to now introduce local author and musical duo Michael and Leslie Brachia in our podcast star segment, Round the Reeking.
Hello. Welcome to Around the Reeking with Mike and Leslie. I'm Leslie.
I'm Mike.
Oh, well, we've got Philip with us as well.
That's Philip, yes, as well.
We've come for a trip to Ludlow today. Unfortunately, the weather's not brilliant, but it is market day and there's quite an array of brightly striped canopies in the square.
Yeah, we're under the umbrella.
Yes, we're under the umbrella at the moment. So we've just had a very nice lunch at the Pietro Lounge. I'd recommend that to anybody.
Yes.
And we're now going to go and see if we can have a little look at the castle.
So we're just approaching the castle. Although the rain is coming down a bit heavier now, isn't it?
Yes.
And there's lovely gardens at the front and a huge cannon there. It's very interesting. From here we can see the market we just come from. So we're coming through two huge doors. How would you describe them, Leslie?
There's big wooden doors with lots of big chunky nails in.
Studded doors.
Yes. And under an archway, approaching the gates where you can go in to get your admission, and there's a gift shop,
yes,
but as it's raining rather heavily, I think we can advise against actually going round the open air areas today. We'll have to come back another day when it's
over this locked gate.
Yes.
In the distance, you can see that the hills there, the Shropshire Hills.
The big expanse of green lawn, and then the walls and towers of the castle itself.
It is very similar to Dudley Castle, isn't
it? Yeah.
It's very similar to that. So that looks right. On a nice day.
On a nice day, it would be brilliant.
That's right.
We'll have to come back another day.
Just leaving the castle, going through the high street, you can see the market ahead of us. Over to the left, you've got Ludlow College and something called the Castle Lodge Buttery.
That doesn't look very open today. I think perhaps it's being refurbished.
It sounds enticing, though, doesn't it?
It's somewhere to go and have coffee and cake on another visit.
Anywhere you recognise from the previous
visit? Yes. Now, it's a long time since I was last here. But there's the Ludlow Assembly Rooms, which I know is an entertainment venue. And a very long time ago, I came here to see folk singer Simon Nicol, who was performing with Phil Cool, the impressionist and comedian. They were actually, he did do some impressions, but basically we were singing together, which was lovely.
Just coming back to the market now, there's some lovely shops next to the Ludlow Assembly Rooms. You've got a theatre, cinema, visitor centre. Now, it says here, they're doing through the spring into the summer, the Borderlines Film Festival 2026. And you've got charity shops, Price's Bakery.
Oh, yes. Now, the thing that's caught your eye is a bookshop, isn't it?
That's the one I'm going to describe next, yes. Independent bookshops are quite rare these days, with Waterstones and Amazon dictating the market. And we've got one called the Castle Bookshop. Call themselves booksellers and stationers. And for any independent author, that's a nice place to be, try and sell new books. So that's that. What else can you see?
Well, in the distance, we can see a church tower. Perhaps we can get a little bit closer to that.
Yes.
Walking away from the market square, there are a number of little cuts through, both pedestrian and allowing access to cars.
Just say this is a bit like Diagon Alley.
And this one's a little bit like Diagon Alley, isn't it? So we're following quite a narrow little street, and I've just seen a sign for Ludlow Museum, so perhaps that's something we can go and look at. Unfortunately, the museum that I just spotted doesn't seem to be open today.
Well, we've got something that's close to our hearts. We've got music here. We've got a busker, which I'm sure he was playing something like Cavatina on the guitar. So we're going to go.
Send in the clowns.
Yeah, we're going to walk over there and say hello to him, and perhaps drop a call into his cab. So here we are. So we just stop for a minute, and I'll just listen to the music. Beautiful. a blog or a charity or a radio. Just say hello.
Hello there.
That's beautiful, that is. And the clowns, so. Lovely. Okay, say bye bye then.
Say bye bye.
We've backtracked a little bit because we've now found an entrance to the church, so we'll go and have a little look up here. The parish church of St. Lawrence. The entrance is an imposing archway with a figure, a statue above the entrance. I'm not sure who that is. It possibly is St. Lawrence. College Street, yes. No. They probably don't want us recording inside. So let's step in and perhaps we can describe it when we come back out.
Yeah. On the wall I found a poem from Philip Larkin. Here it goes. Never such innocence, never before a sense, has changed itself to past without a word of the men, leaving the gardens tidy. The thousands of marriages lasting a little while longer. Never such innocence again. That's Philip Larkin.
Now, the date at the top is in Roman numerals, but I think that translates to 1914. So I'm assuming that this is talking about the men going off to war. Yeah. So, you know, things were never the same after that.
Yes.
Should we go inside the church and see what we can see?
Have a look, yeah. Let's talk about the church, the parish church of St. Lawrence in Ludlow. We're at a place called the North Aisle, and it describes this part of the building. Built in 1308, the North Aisle is more than a century older than most of the church. It's probably paid for by the De Verdons, a Staffordshire family who own half of the lordship of Ludlow. Their arms and those of their relatives, the oldest glass in the church, can be seen at the top of the three most easterly windows.
This was a time of stylistic exuberance reflecting rising prosperity. This is shown architecturally by the row of six two-light windows which cut with cusped arches, the window heads with circles enclosing cinque foils, ball flower decoration, much of it restored, surrounding the west window of the aisle.
Along the north wall can be seen, from the west, two highly ornamented 16th century recesses, which may be memorials. The royal arms, originally of Charles I, but later adapted for Charles II, and they have a list of the mayors of Ludlow from 1836. The north aisle now accommodates the bookstall, made from redundant Victorian pews, and a kitchen and toilet facility, installed in 2006, and it is all
very,
very nice.
Let's go through and have a closer look at that then.
The Parish Church of St. Lawrence organ. It's probable that an organ was here as early as 1400. In the mid-16th century, there were two organs in the St. Lawrence's. However, the Commonwealth Decree of 1650 required all organs to be destroyed.
In 1764... through the generosity of the Earl of Powys, a Swiss organ builder, John Snetzler, completed what still remains the heart of today's organ. It had 19 stops and originally stood on a platform directly under the church tower.
Today's organ is one of the finest parish church organs in the country, used every Sunday for services and for a wide range of musical events in the church. And they say that a booklet on the organ is available from the bookstall. One final very interesting item in the church, we found something called a carillon, C-A-R-I-L-L-O-N, I hope that's how you pronounce it, and it looks like a huge, really huge, 6 foot wide musical box. And they describe it here, a carillon has chimed at Ludlow since 1683 or earlier. The present seven tunes, one for each day of the week, date from 1795, when a new carillon was installed by public subscription. The tunes are played at 8 a.m, 12 noon and 8 p.m. after the hour has struck. Nearly all the parts of the 1795 installation were renewed in 1890. The church clock mechanism turn this huge wrought iron cylinder, and the projecting pins caused hammers to strike the bells. It looks really interesting, but we've missed the actual playing of this.
Yes, that's right.
Looks brilliant.
Perhaps we'll come back another time.
I've never heard of a carillon before.
Carillon to me is a type of bell, but yeah. It just looks like, you know, sometimes in a jewellery box they have,
yes.
a mechanism, but it's just a much bigger version of that. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Let's head back out again now. Okay, so we've made our way back to the car. So I think it's time to sign off now. So this has been Around the Wrekin with Mike and Leslie. I've been Leslie.
I've been Mike.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks, bye.
Now, here come the quiz answers.
Hello again, it's Andrew here, and I've got some answers for our quiz questions. The question one, I asked you who wrote The War of the Worlds. Well, it was H.G. Wells. Way back in around 1895-96, and it was published in hardback in 1898. It's certainly a famous book, and the infamous radio broadcast of it in 1938 by Orson Welles caused panic when listeners, it's in the USA this by the way, thought it was a real news story and was happening in their country. It has inspired 8 films and quite a number of radio dramas really. It's also inspired the musician Jeff Wayne to create his 1978 album of the same name that's certainly been performed on stage in live shows for many years since. I suspect there are many more films to come from the story. Question two, I asked you about the composer who wrote The Marriage of Figaro and The Magic Flute. Well, it was Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, who we tend to call Mozart these days. Born way back in 1756, and did you know he died aged only 35 years old and yet provided us with all this wonderful music? Possibly one of the most famous classical composers, although I'm sure everyone will have their own favourites. He was born and died in Austria and was married with 6 children. Unfortunately, only 2 survived infancy. And The Magic Flute and The Marriage of Figaro were both completed just 3 months before he died. Question 3. I asked you, which football team has won the FA Cup the most times in the men's game as at 2024? Well, it is Arsenal, with a total of 14 wins, closely followed by Manchester United with 13 wins. And then after that, the next nearest clubs are Tottenham Hotspur, Chelsea and Liverpool, who each have won it 8 times. So no doubt those numbers will change as every year goes by. Question 4, another sporting question was about golf and what do we call the 1 under par, 2 under par, 3 under par. So 1 under par is known as a birdie, 2 under par an eagle, and 3 under par, there is an option, or double eagle for the 3 under par. So that's albatross or double eagle for 3 under par. It's fairly rare to see an albatross. We do often see birdies and eagles in the professional game. If you watch golf or listen to it on the radio, you will hear that being called out quite a lot. What I did find out is that there is a name for the very unlikely 4 shots under par. And of course, you can only be 4 under par on holes that are par 5 or 6. And that's called a condor, which I'd never heard of. And there are a small number of recorded condor scores. That was quite a surprise to me, but there we go. They didn't mention anything about 5 under par, so I think that's a safe one for now. Question 5. I asked you about the periodic table of elements and the lightest noble gas. So the answer is helium. And of course, that's the stuff that floats balloons for us at birthdays and all those kinds of things. There are 7 noble gases in the periodic table, helium being the first, followed by neon, argon, krypton, xenon, radon, and organoson, which I must admit, I don't think it was on the table when I was at school. Perhaps they've found it since, of course. Question 6 was all about plant biology and where in their cell does the process of photosynthesis occur. It is in an area called the chloroplasts. If you've got anything like that for your answer, give yourself a point. Plant cells comprise a large central vacuole, which occupies most of the space. A nucleus or nuclei, the green chloroplasts, mitochondria and cytoplasm. And it's in the chloroplast where the photosynthesis occurs. And that, of course, is the essential process where plants convert light energy, principally sunlight, and they convert the carbon dioxide into oxygen and they convert the light energy into glucose, which, of course, helps us all live and breathe on Earth. But did you also know that plant cells are generally rectangular, which is somewhat different to animal cells, which are typically more of a, I'll go with a round shape rather than a circle, given that circle is very specific. Anyway, moving on. Question 7. To what creatures would we include crayfish, lobsters, crabs? Well, they are all crustaceans. If you put shellfish, I'm going to let you have the point. Did you know there are many, many, many different species in this family? They range from microscopic plankton all the way up to the 12 feet span of the Japanese spider crab. And I certainly don't want to meet one of those on the beach. All crustaceans have jointed paired appendages that serve various functions, including walking, swimming, feeding, and sensing. And most of them also possess 2 pairs of antennae. But did you know that woodlice are also part of this same family? Now, we wouldn't call them shellfish, really, would we? But we're going to let that point stand if you did use shellfish, because we didn't put woodlice into the question. Anyway, question 8 was a bit about a famous scientist. I asked you which scientist had won Nobel Prizes in 2 different scientific fields. The person we were looking for was Marie Curie. Born in 1867 in Warsaw, she moved to Paris to study at the Sorbonne due to limited opportunities for women in Poland at that time. She was the first female professor at the University of Paris and discovered radioactivity, polonium and radium. She died of leukemia, more than likely brought on from prolonged and unprotected radiation exposure in 1934. But is certainly well remembered for all of her work in those 2 fields. Question 9, I asked you about the largest city in Scotland, and the answer we wanted was Glasgow, which at about 2020 was recorded to have a population of 630,000 or so people. Of the 8 cities in Scotland, Edinburgh, with just over 500,000 people, comes in at 2nd place. And then Aberdeen comes in at 3rd with just under 200,000. And Dundee is the only other city with more than 100,000 people in it at all. Our last question in this quiz was, which island is occupied by 3 different nations or countries, depending on exactly how we want to categorise them? Well, the island of Borneo, which is actually the 3rd largest island in the world, sits in Southeast Asia and is crossed by the equator, and it's politically divided among 3 states, with the borders broadly following demarcations that were previously put in place by the British and the Dutch. So the sovereign state of Brunei up in the north takes up 1% of the territory. So they haven't got a very big claim here. 73% of Borneo is Indonesian. And then in the north, the East Malaysian states of Sabah and Sarawak make up about 26% of the island. And the Malaysian Federal Territory of Labuan is situated on a small island just off the coast. So what an interesting place Borneo must be. That's the end of our quiz for this time. Thank you so much for joining in, and I wish you all well. Bye-bye for now.
Next up, of course, we have the latest goings-on from the village of Leaford.
Leaford Village, written by Michael Brackier and John Marks. Episode 16, Frank, read by Michael and Leslie Brackier. Frank Watson, father, businessman, parish council leader, demands respect, earning it most of the time. On his way out of the community centre, Frank finds another victim.
Jeremy, there you are.
Oh, Frank, nice to see you. I was just on my way to see Nick about something.
Never mind, I need a quick word. Could you run the tombola at the fete this year?
Who's run it in the past?
No one.
So you've not had a tombola before?
No, Jeremy, we've never had a fete before.
I see. Anyway, when is it?
The fete subcommittee will finalise the date. Can I press gang you onto the committee? We meet here on the 14th next month.
Look, Frank.
Doctor, I know you're a busy man. All those patients to see and looking after your lovely wife. Tell you what, just take one of the roles. What do you say, tombola or committee?
Well,
let's make things easier. I'll put you down for the tombola. Less responsibility. Can't have our esteemed GP burning out, can we?
Frank.
That's settled then. Have a word with Nick. He's got all the tombola stuff. The WI run one at their bring and buy.
I'm very busy.
That's why I picked you. You know, give a job to a busy man, woman, person.
Okay, I give in.
Good man. Knew you wouldn't let me down.
Goodbye, Frank. I'll get back to you.
See you, Doc. Oh, by the way, have you decided when you're herding the sheep through the village?
What?
It's your right. You were the first person since the millennium to have the freedom of Leaford bestowed upon your person. It's an ancient right, back to when Leaford was just a church and six houses. The old River Lee, now just a stream, really, except when we had the flood, George and all. But of course, you know that.
Frank!
What's wrong?
I must get on. There'll be no sheep herding, no committee, but I will do your damn tombola if it'll make you happy. Now, I must go in and see Nick.
Must be under a lot of pressure, Frank thinks to himself. Bye, Doc. Scene 2. In the Cross.
Come on, Frank. It has to be your round sometime, suggests Jack Simmons.
Listen, Shakespeare, when I want your opinion, I'll ask for it, Frank fires back.
Opinion, a sovereign mistress of effects. Now that's Shakespeare. Othello, Act 1, Scene 3.
Good God, it wasn't like this when I first came to the Cross, says Frank. It was the summer of 1972 when Frank first walked into the Cross. As far as he was aware, it had always been called the Cross, and he has often considered doing some research at the Black Country Museum to find out. The 63-year-old Frank Watson doesn't really do the internet, apart from business emails and his daily check on his Santander 123 account. Social media is definitely a no-go area.
Barely 17 years old, looking like a tired 21-year-old, he drank alone. Successful in his O-levels the previous year, 3 grade A and 5 grade B, he was the only pupil at Balpil Grammar, passing more than 5 O-levels, who left at the age of 16. Help me in the business, Francis, his dad pleaded.
Dad, I told you, I don't want to work in asbestos.
It's not dangerous. It's all treated stuff anyway.
It's not that, Dad, but I've had 5 years being pushed around, people telling me what to do. I want to do my own thing.
Son, do what you like, but it's your mother. She wants the best for you. Doreen Watson, a well-meaning and loving mother, had not prepared her son for the perils of grammar school life. As the only successful 11-plus entrant from East Banfield Junior, Frank arrived at Banfield Grammar on a dismal morning in September 1966, alone, clad in worsted shorts, white ankle socks, and a school cap. Doreen insisted.
Do I have to wear the cap, Mom?
It's part of the set uniform.
But I'm the only one. He was right. Not the only student issued with a cap, but the only boy actually wearing one as he arrived at the school entrance. It triggered Frank's first experience of bullying, and it was not to be his last. The shorts and ankle socks didn't help either.
He started life in a two-bed terrace in East Banfield. His mum and dad owned the house, unusual in those days, but Cecil was doing well in the business, cutting and supplying seals and gaskets for the motor industry. As the business expanded, the family moved to a three-bed detached in Spring Hill, Leaford, one of four houses sited directly opposite the shopping precinct and market area, Frank's first experience of Leaford Village. However, school days had a lasting effect on young Francis. Nobody calls him that these days.
That first day, he tried to engage the other lads in conversation about Bobby Moore, Nobby Styles, Jeff Hurst et al., but to no effect. The cap had to go, and when they knew his name was Francis, the screaming and gurgling, "It's Frank," actually didn't cut it. The screaming you might expect and understand. The gurgling, well, that was just cruel. Frank could not fight off two burly fifth formers who had decided his head would fit inside the toilet bowl.
Retribution for the two burly fifth formers never came. Within 2 years, one was off to Oxford to eventually become a lawyer of some repute. The other sent up to Cambridge and trained to be something in the city. Frank, however, did what a proportion of victims were tempted to do. He became a bully himself. By the end of his third year at Banfield Grammar, he had his own gang and meted out a variety of punishments to the unwary, the unaware, and, in his opinion, the underclass. He wasn't being completely truthful with his dad when claiming to have been pushed around for 5 years. Maybe the first year, but you have to give him some credit. He survived.
Many people in the village look at Frank today, his military bearing, his officer's style approach to meetings, or indeed any discussion, that they don't realise that the nearest he got to the military was 2 years in the boys' brigade. But boy, could he march. Toughened up at school, he eventually did join Cecil in the business. Even his dad started to call him Frank.
Frank often relives the significant events in his life. Childhood, school of course, but the true pattern of his life was formed when he joined the business. He had no idea that the partnership with his dad would be short-lived. In less than 2 years working alongside Cecil, he had proved to be a quick learner, as adept at sizing and cutting a head gasket as he was at drafting a set of accounts. His dad insisted that he start a business studies course at Banfield, but on his 18th birthday, the potential struggles of the next few years were brought sharply into focus. Francis, it's your mum.
You never call me at work.
Your dad stopped at home today. He probably didn't tell you, but he hasn't been well lately.
What's happened, Mum?
Dad's in hospital. Oh, Francis. Doreen started to cry.
It's okay, Mum. Is he in Banfield General?
Yes, darling. Ward C4, the cancer unit.
I had no idea. Shall I pick you up from home?
No, I'm already here, love. They let me use their phone.
Cecil had reduced the hours he worked at the office, sometimes only doing 2 days a week. I'll do the accounts at home over the next few days, Frank. I can keep your mum company at the same time, all right? Not that he needed Frank's approval, but he was the first adult to truly respect the young man and demonstrate that respect on a daily basis. He will never forget that.
Frank had coped remarkably well, and Cecil had developed a good team around him. Only Doreen knew that her husband had been undergoing chemotherapy as an outpatient. The treatment on the prostate cancer had not worked. It had spread to the pancreas and he had become anemic. Cecil died at 4 a.m. the following morning.
18 years of age and effectively in control of the business. He was lucky that Cecil had carefully selected and trained his team to cope without him. His manager, Steve Coplin, was fond of Frank and knew the only chance the business had of survival was for Frank to develop and succeed personally. He made it his mission to support the young man who was now grieving the loss of his father.
Frank met Sally at college. They went out a few times and grew close very quickly, engaged within the year as he was taking his final exams. Sally had some news for him. "This is going to come as a bit of a shock. I'm pregnant."
They hadn't planned a short engagement, but he needed to review his objectives. Doreen felt she could not stay in the house. After a few months, she went to live with a cousin in North Banfield. Doreen died 10 years later after a long battle with breast cancer. The business was ticking over, but not thriving, he would not be able to afford to keep his parents' house. He decided to move into the middle of the village. A smaller three-bedroom house became available in Green Crescent, with a significant difference in value between the two houses. Mature beyond his years, Frank put an offer in for the house, and the deposit was paid for before he and Sally had a beautiful baby girl, Megan. Years later, Megan had a question for Frank.
Dad, can I ask you something?
What's that, love?
Did Mum ever get to see me when I was born?
For a few minutes, Megan. Just for a few minutes.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!